Homestead Commission of Unified Community Services to order certification of compliance with the open meeting law.
It was posted in our courthouse in our administration building on our website. I believe Iowa County posted it on their website as well.
Yeah. Item three is election of a chair. According to the new agreement, this group is to elect a chair. Does not say anything about a vice chair. And so
I'll nominate Bob Keeney to be chair.
We'll second that nomination if it's needed.
We have a nomination of Robert Keeney as chair of the Oversight Commission. Any other nomination?
Motion to close and cast unanimous ballot.
Motion by Clinton. Langreck to close, cast unanimous ballot. Do we have a second to that?
I'll second that.
Seconded by Gary Random. All in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Thank you for the honor.
Thank you for serving.
Approval of the agenda. We have a 9-point agenda in front of us.
I will move.
Motion by Clinton.
Seconded
by Nate to approve the agenda as posted. Questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed, the same? Motion carries. Item five, approval of the March 5th, 2026 meeting minutes. They were distributed.
I wasn't here, so I can't really comment on the content, except that I did notice on the third line up from the bottom, it says temporary individual from Truity Partners for up to, and then it's blank.
Oh, what was that? I made that motion.
For where?
Right there.
Oh, I was looking up. Two more lines. I was looking. Okay. Well, the above says 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay.
And not to exceed 30,000. So we can insert the third. We can insert either one or both, or we could say up to the conditions as described. What's the preference?
I think it was up to 6 weeks. I think.
Mm-hmm. It was.
I think I made that motion.
You did.
So,
and I just forgot to finish the sentence, clearly.
So phone ring, right?
Want in there is just the 6 weeks, or do we want the value as well?
I think I made the motion with only the weeks, but the value was talked about.
Okay, mm-hmm. So we'll just it's up to 6 weeks?
Yeah. I can go back and listen to the tape to verify.
With everyone?
Yeah.
I'll make that motion to approve with that slight change.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion on the minutes? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion to approve as amended, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? That motion also carries. Operationals and staffing updates. Whoever wants to go.
Just do staffing updates really quick. Okay, so in your packets I gave you on the back, it's just an update kind of at where we're at as of today. So it's going to look like this.
Yeah, matrix.
Yeah. So just showing that we have filled the CCS service director, that is with an internal employee in Unified who has lots of experience in those programs. We have filled our revenue cycle manager, she's on site now. The mobile crisis worker has been put on hold as that's being evaluated by Amanda to see exactly what our need is. The administrative assistant was filled starting on April 21st, so she's on board. And then we are currently posted for a behavioral health clinic full-time, emergency service coordinator one, interviews are in process and she hasn't identified who she's choosing yet. We have a service facilitator that is recently, it's a position we have had open for a while, but it just recently was identified to get it posted. And then prevention specialist, we have an employee who just retired, so we really have like the three positions, the full-time positions that we're posting and looking for people right now.
What's the rationale for the on hold on the mobile crisis workers?
We were just contacted by Amanda, the supervisor of the program, that she's revisiting the number we have and to just know if we still need to keep. It's kind of been always on there because you take as many as you can get. Mm-hmm. But we were asked to put it on hold, so that's okay. All I really, that she was going to review.
We're looking at the stats of the stats of the current position in use, right. And is it necessary? For full-time, part-time, can it be absorbed elsewhere?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then, of course, we have our discussion of our finance position as our director has resigned, so that's what brings us also here today. So we have that one to discuss.
Any other questions on the staffing update? Anything under operational, or is it thought that's all for that way?
No, I think you can talk, Sue, if you want to talk a little bit about the use of the annex building.
Sure. So at meetings, we've been going back and forth and back and forth. Do we need the BMO or not? And if we remain at census with staffing without ever adding positions, we could maintain the unified building and not utilize BMO. But if we're adding to finance in any way, which most recently had some discussions of, which we'll talk about next, if we're needing to add that position in any way and sort of, then we will need to maintain the BMO so that we can maintain finance comfortably. If we maintain finance and the BMO in order to properly actually utilize the space when we're, as far as offsetting the cost, we would move one of our program teams over there. So at this point, it looks like we're adding to our finance team, which we'll talk about shortly, and then moving one of our program teams, our Birth to Three CLTS team, over to BMO. They're the team that doesn't have any outside contact, so that we're not necessarily worried about getting the building up and ready for people not affiliated with the agency. So that's the direction we're going in at this point.
What do we see is the capacity of that building from your perspective?
We were there yesterday. I was counting sort of, you know, what open space is there. And it looks like we have four office areas. Mm-hmm. They're large spaces. And so DART, the CLTS Birth to Three supervisor is out right now, so she'll be back on Monday. So I'll bring her to the building on Monday so she can look at the space and determine which teams will go in which spaces. Currently, we have four or five people in an office. These are the staff that are rarely in an office. They're really the ones that are out doing the visits with families. So I wanted her to decide placement as to where people will be.
So their offices are basically hotel spaces.
They are, yeah. And so they have just a nice small stand-up sit-down desk that would move with them. And they're in the office to finalize their case notes and paperwork, but otherwise they're in the field meeting with families, doing our visits, doing our billing services, and need space for staff meetings. So they'll be moving over there. And Darcy and I, when she's back in the office on Monday, we'll take a look at the space to see where she wants folks to be housed, and we'll get them set.
Thank you.
Sure. And one of the big reasons we kind of looked at this is the fact that if there's a program in there, then we can recoup some of those costs of using the building, you know, utility costs and so forth through the programs. So that was important.
So Nate had asked me about Cubbies. Is that still on the table or not?
Yes. And that's part of what they're going to talk about Monday, that main lobby area. They want a big meeting table up there, but then, you know, the other part of it, could we put up four cubicles.
So if it had an internet hub and a power hub and everything, four or five could be, you know.
And we wanted
sure
to
we were all on the same
page.
Yeah,
we wanted to take a look at, you know, the internet, you know, where's the good computer spaces, you know, all that kind of stuff. So we're going to take a look Monday and come back with if we have some wants and needs to make the space work.
And I realize that the two gentlemen from Iowa County probably have not been in that building.
No, I don't know too much.
It's a bank. We spent some dollars to renovate basically the first floor. So we took the whole teller space out, so it's one big open area. Probably the size of our county boardroom.
It's like a ballroom.
So that whole area could be with cubbies. And then there was 13 or 14 office spaces around it, but with the finance people in there, they're utilizing some of those. And they're fairly good size offices, the majority of them. So then there's a big vault right in the middle of it.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is.
So there's plenty of space that can be utilized. And I was happy to hear that Birth to Three. So you actually have two programs kind of going.
Yeah. They're the two programs that Darcy, they work together.
Can.
Yeah. So they'll both be moving.
Anything else operationally?
Oh, so many things, but finance seems to be the driving factor
I was just going to say, I think probably the main reason for the discussion is 7 and 8.
Yes.
Discussion possible action on finance department structure. I think the discussion will probably blend into 8, but again, I know that there was an extended meeting yesterday to talk about some of this stuff, so I'll let whoever wants to share start.
Well, I can just start slightly. So we had the position as a finance director. I think at the last USC board meeting, you know, I just said usually when you have a position like that leave, it's good to just really look at your structure. So we did take the current position and put it also into a format for a finance manager, and just sending that for placement to just kind of get an idea where that would fall. We've brought that revenue cycle manager in, so that is a newer position. So we'll just see what that comes back with, and then what we decide, what direction we decide to go here with that. But we kind of got that kind of started behind the scenes.
Yeah, and our kind of reason behind that is that we kind of looked at the position and said, does it actually need to be a director position? You know, does it need to be at that level? You know, and after we looked at some of the duties and different things, we're like, no, I think we think it could be downgraded, you know, to a manager position based on the job duties, and just removing some of those high-level administrative director-type duties, and then they fall to the director of the department. So instead, so again, we're having that evaluated, see where it's going to fall. I think she gave you kind of a job description of what it looks like. But with that, we spent 3 hours yesterday kind of going through, you know, what do the other people in the finance department currently do. So we have the revenue cycle manager, who's brand new position that was created last year by the previous, well, by people that are no longer here. So we're trying to figure out what their thinking was behind that. However, the person we have into that position right now fits that role very well. I mean, it's just, that's what she does. She comes from the field of looking for revenue and finding ways to. With that came a lot of digging into how we're currently processing things, and we identified a significant gap in a significant problem that we need to fix, and that's part of the reason we're here today. We are missing quality assurance, and we're missing compliance in those two roles. And if you know, I'll let others that are a little more versed in this what that actually means overall, but that's the gap that we're here to talk about kind of today. So I don't know if anybody wants to kind of talk about what QA and compliance do.
I'll start with QA, my role of QA. So quality assurance manager director is removed from all programming. They report directly to a director and the board. That's it. And their role is to know regulations, standards, the backwards, forwards of each funding source, what is required. And they go in and they're spot checking contact notes, they're spot checking attendance, they're looking at billing, they're looking at, they're following a staff unannounced on a home visit. They're the ones, boots on the ground, that are saying, are we doing what the regs are telling us to do? Are we reporting it correctly? Are we documenting it correctly? All of those pieces from beginning to end. And they report, as I said, to the director and the board, and that's it. And they are steeped in knowledge. They learn as they go. They, you know, they have their groups that they answer to. There's a whole QA group at the state level. And they ensure we're following best practice, we're following our regs, we're ethical, we're doing the services we need to do.
Mm-hmm. And then I think the other part that we found this week was with the compliance piece comes the licensing and keeping everything current. So originally when we went over and we saw the issues with billing, you know, initially I was like, do we need another coder? Do we just have too much volume to keep up? You know, there's a lot of manual entry. Their ecosystem is only a portion of what they're billing. The rest is still all being manual and on paper and mailed out. You know, so we're looking through all these issues, but then what we realized in listening to them is a lot of these denials, a lot of these issues are really because we're not meeting compliance on the front end. So we could add as many, you know, I could come to you and add all these people on the back end, but all we're going to do is constantly just have more denials and less revenue. So it kind of goes in with the quality assurance compliance on that. You know, when we went and kind of looked back, it looked like they've always had bits and pieces they've maybe thrown at other people and had them pick up, you know, like Robin do this piece, so-and-so do this piece, you know. But it should be removed with the quality ones, you know, the compliance. So that should be completely independent of everybody and just make sure it's flowing and the dates. Like it was nobody's primary focus. And that appeared, I thought, very clearly yesterday that all, you know, the revenue collection issues was coming down to this certification, you know, monitoring the training people are doing, getting all that updated. It needs to be somebody's job.
Credentialing too.
Yeah, the credentialing
is a huge one.
Yeah, it's just too, I mean, it kind of, everything kind of stemmed from there.
Did we have any statistics on the rate of denials that we're at?
We don't, because everything's so, like I said, the ecosystem's only part of the programs. The other ones are on paper. That's what, you know, so that's even, Jamie is very knowledgeable, the one, our revenue cycle person, but she's just like, I have no data. And I was like, I know, that's been kind of the problem with bringing things to you. So what I, you know, I was trying to think of what could I pull, and I can't, I had asked Jessica before she had left, even within Echo, when we logged in there and we saw, you know, it looked like over $2 million in lost revenue over the last few years. I'm like, is that a legitimate number? You know, because that's never been talked to with the county and audit, like what's going on? You know, and it was a lot of, well, I don't think it's really legit. Well, then what is legit? And they don't know. And then when we go to the next meeting, we find like not even, you know, so I was like, well, maybe it's not so bad. But then we find out Echo's not even all our claims. It's only a portion of the claims. So now I'm thinking, is it worse? I mean, we have no idea at this point to trade it back into that information. The system was just not built properly, so they're not using it properly. So we can't capture any metrics out of it.
You know, I don't think any of you were here when we did our lean training back several years ago. But one of the basics of that was if you can't count it, you can't improve it because you don't know where you are. Yeah.
That's exactly, I mean, and that's where we're at.
And so, you know, clearly that's something we have to be able to figure out how to do.
So since I can't capture that, I was like, what can I look at today, you know, for you, everybody? So what I thought, at least what we can look at is what, I pulled out the revenue lines that pertain to billing. So I backed out any grants or anything like that. So we're talking just billing and collections. So this is what, I have 23, 24, 25, 26 so far, and then what was budgeted for 26. Yeah, there are definitely some numbers on here that are outliers that I don't know why, you know, that are way off, but that may have been conversion or something else, but at least it somewhat helps track. But in this 26 budget, the way it was approved last fall, they anticipated 2.8 million in billing revenue. And to date, we're at 387. So this is why we're more concerned with this one. And, you know, and everything, and the denials just keep coming in and coming in, and people are not credentialed. You know, and that's a process. We're struggling to get people even in the portals to even get these things updated. Yeah, and it's, that just feels like that in the QA, like it has to be a separate position.
Even with a lag, we probably should be at about 25%, shouldn't we?
I mean,
you would hope so.
You would certainly hope so. And that's,
well, I mean,
yeah, it's hard
I mean,
to
there's
tell.
Always at least there's a month,
yes,
so.
Always.
Yes.
Always.
Yeah.
Yeah,
typically 30 to 45 days.
Yeah.
So, and then, so, the, you know, so that's concerning, because, but the other thing that I've kept in the back of my mind with this budget year was the amount of levy, you know, because this, we did talk to them last year, because if you look in 20, you know, so I went back even 10 years, and I talked with Nate when I started, I said, you know, typically some of your funds, it's kind of a base what you give, and I felt like it was kind of fluctuating way too much there the last few years. So I went back historically, it was fairly set, but then you can see, you know, it just kept started creeping up to the point in 25, you know, what we provided for a levy just really was not sustainable from the, you know, from the county's perspective. And that was, you know, a little bit before me or how it was agreed upon that we would do that. So that kind of helped maybe cover some of this need, is because the only reason they weren't, this wasn't so apparent is, you know, if you look between the two counties, we provided 1.2 million in levy.
Yeah.
So, but that's, but we can't do that. So this past year, you know, when we met with them, it said, you know, if we provided, they've grown and they've provided people, you should need to be billing, you should be bringing in the revenue, you know,
sustaining,
adding the space, you have to start sustaining yourself. But my concern with this, and now with the gap of the director, is even bringing on the director and learning that it's, this gap will still be there. You know, we have to address this separately.
Well,
that position.
To me, the 24 gap is the one that's more revealing. Because it's almost $1 million worth of levy, and they went, fund balance went down almost half, right?
Yeah.
It went down 1.4-ish.
So, yeah, and that's, and some of that, but there's, if you look across some of the programs, you know, there's definitely some where, you know, in 23, Medicaid revenue on mental health was 800,000, the other years it's hardly any, you know, so like, something wasn't right there, something was miscoded. You know, and there's a couple other ones. But if you look at the total in those, then the totals are a little bit closer. But then I look down at the very bottom line, at the, so that would be CCS. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know what a feasible number is for that one. And that's where I'm at. You know, I don't know these programs, but when I look at that, so 23 was, you know, 371,000, 24 is 300,000.
Well, there was a big increase in CCS. But, you know, there was a move to greatly
concentrated effort.
Yep, to increase that because of, it was, supposedly, you could bill it all, supposedly.
It was supposedly fully reimbursable. That's right. What the group was told. And I go back to the 23 number on Medicaid revenue, I would suspect that the majority of the WMCR was coded to that.
That's, yeah. So, I mean, I just pulled it right out of the system, but
yep.
Something.
Okay.
Which isn't necessarily, that's in it. Clint knows, that's kind of, WMCR is what's left over that is possibly to get.
Yeah.
through.
Not necessarily that it should have been coded to.
Yeah. So I didn't, yeah. So I don't want to change anything. This is how, you know, so there's a couple things in there. But, so my concern, so maybe the CLTS or the CCS one will be okay, but she budgeted 1.3. You know, so it's just, it's with some of this changeover.
Well, I think that budget was probably because the intent was to continue to grow it, which, you know, probably meant additional personnel as well. I mean, I haven't been involved in any of this stuff for a while, but just discussions with the previous director had pointed in that direction. Mm-hmm. So I don't mm-hmm. know if that's continued or not. Mm-hmm.
The CCS supervisor left the agency. We hired internally to fill the position, a strong candidate, and she's had some work with CCS, but she's a new supervisor, so.
Yeah, she hasn't even started.
No.
Yeah, she's going to be moving in a few weeks
yes.
to that role.
Yeah.
Well, I think one of the questions that's important mm-hmm. is to make sure we know exactly what our intent is with CCS. Mm-hmm. You know, do we want to continue at the same level? Did we want to continue to expand? You know, just figure out what our market is.
Right.
You know, and if, you know, if we're able to do that or not. Because there was such a focus on that, I mean, we were changing from doing other stuff to doing CCS just because we could get money for it.
And I think to go along with Gary, sorry,
sure,
to
yep.
but to go along with Gary's earlier comment, I think we need to measure the return on that investment. Are we really seeing the return based on the reimbursables for CCS, or are we not? Because it's supposed to be fully reimbursable, but it has to be programmatic, from what I understood. Mm-hmm. And so if we're seeing too much overhead in CCS, we're not recovering the cash that we expected.
Then to make the question even more complex is, are we really helping people to the extent that we're spending money?
It's the return on investment.
I was just going to say, ultimately, we know we have our programs, but what Angie specifically found over there is that we have a lot of our providers not credentialed. So we can say we're going to do all these programs, but we're not getting our providers in. So the provider can go and meet with client A, and if they are not, if that client A has Blue Cross Blue Shield or Medicare, but that provider isn't credentialed correctly, that's all
they're
being done free. That's it. It's getting those when we send it off. We're getting zero payment, but we're providing the service. So, I mean, we can look at all of our programs and what is, you know, what you were talking about and how that's providing and where the investment is, but we're...
If the practitioners are not correct.
Right. We're doing free services.
Yeah.
We're not getting reimbursed.
Right.
Good or bad.
Because the question was asked yesterday, how many people are actually credentialed? And there's, what, 12 or 14?
I think it was three.
And it was three.
And once we looked, actually, we saw one was not, so it was two.
Two out of 14 providers we are actually able to get reimbursed.
So we're coming in new eyes and mm-hmm. just trying to, you know, I come from medical field, so when I heard that, I'm immediately like, why, you know, why aren't we credentialing? Why aren't we using a scrubber, which you can push your claims through before they even go out to make sure you're getting as much money from or reimbursement for that specific claim. So I think that's all good to like where the programs, but we have to figure out what we're going to do.
Yeah, but to me, the big question is how do we fix that? Those 12.
It's going to be what she's going to suggest, probably.
Well, and that's with the compliance,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you know, the compliance person. And that's where I said this, you know, that role, once we were talking to people and how it was just split out, you know, and everybody was doing a little bit. It was nobody's responsibility.
Yeah, but while they're being credentialed, they're not providing services.
So that's, yeah.
So how long is the credentialing process?
Well, that is this is not my world, but my understanding, but I think the hardest part we're having with it right now is just getting somebody in these portals and in touch with Medicaid in working through the system.
And I think, oh, sorry.
I was going to say, one of the things, because it wasn't specifically on the agenda, but I do think we need in the minutes, one of the issues they've run into is, and Jessica even mentioned this, with trying to get people added, they just would, oftentimes they will say, they'll have an outdated name of somebody from years ago, you know, and she'll be like, that person's not here, and they'll say, well, you know, we can't speak with you unless we have minutes saying who we can speak with. So that was one of the things today. You know, we do need to somehow get that into the meeting to add Jamie and Kelly so they can get in these portals and start working this and getting in, trying to get some of this in, even while we're trying to develop this position and get it going. Because right now, you know, Jamie can try calling Medicare all day long and nobody's going to speak with her.
Yeah. And I was going to say, I think, you know, that process takes a little bit. I mean, in the hospital, if we were bringing on a new physician, we usually had a 2 to 3 month lead. The problem is the people we have here have been here a long time. So it's not that it's lagging out there and just it's not coming back to us as a credential. I don't know that it's ever even, I don't know if it was really ever submitted or followed up on. And it's just been, we're just going about our, you know, the business, but that piece was never done. So, you know, in the hospital, we had somebody specifically that was a focus, and that's what this would. So we have our finance thing that we need to talk about, but this is a huge gap that has been identified, and if we don't figure out to place somebody in there, everything we're doing is for naught, because we're losing so many, too much dollar.
Do we currently have that position identified and vacant or not filled?
No. So
we don't have either.
So we had a position that it looked like it had been added and as a new position January 25. And we had somebody in there who ended up leaving last fallish, August, September-ish. But when you look at the job description, it was a lot of billing stuff. It really didn't focus on, it was called business manager / compliance. So it appears that when they started to put forth a new plan for this year, they had, when we were looking at positions, they said, well, we're going to just make this compliance business a revenue cycle manager because this is our plan that we're moving forward with. So it was like a same rate of pay, same pay scale, everything was the same, but it was just kind of changed in title with kind of a new focus on it. So we've used the funds that that position might have had for the person we have now in that revenue cycle. So there is not like we have the position, we've just kind of set it to the side because we're not sure.
But there's no compliance, sorry to interrupt again. No. There's no compliance in the revenue cycle managers.
No.
It's a completely different job.
No.
But even the
interrupted.
Yeah. But even the one that was business manager compliance, there's very, very little.
Not enough.
It's focused. I think it's at 15% of 100% was the focus on like compliance, HIPAA, that type of thing.
And we're finding out that 2 out of 14 is a very low percentage.
And
even that one, the person, you know, so whoever they hired, I think they really probably just didn't have direction, you
right.
know, and they didn't know what they were doing, and then eventually left and moved on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so even if we need the position, but I think now everybody has to be aware, you know, and part of it, and just drive it home, you know, what this position is, and that's where I kept saying too, you know, you have the people doing the work, you have admin, and you have finance, and this person needs to be independent of all of those, you know, just can make sure things are done and can do that, and if they're not getting what they need or if there's issues, then they go right to the director and to the board, you know, and that's it.
So that was a question that I wrote down when you started describing the issues. There's an administrative structure component that we really need to talk about, right? Or somebody does? Because the compliance and the quality assurance are both administrative. They're not really finance or programmatic.
Right. Correct.
Sure.
And that's...
Sorry, I didn't know you were...
No, it wasn't.
They're not in programs. They're removed from...
And they, and like Angie just said, they're not necessarily finance, but they have a lot to do with the financial aspects.
Yeah.
So they are administrative.
Yeah, if they don't complete those tasks, we're not getting the money in, and we are giving free service. Yeah. And then the QI on top of that, that's a whole other measure, right?
Yeah.
But we can't really QI something too if we don't have our whole process set up correctly.
But can that be one person doing both of those jobs?
The QA and the compliance.
So the compliance to start with to make sure we get credentials. Because I heard that word very early in this discussion.
I would say that would be that person.
Then,
correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's that on the agenda.
It just came up yesterday.
Yeah.
I kind of prefaced some of this because of what I heard this morning.
A lot of motion.
This would be great if we could somehow figure out some way to lure some former state employee who worked in that.
My question, and I know that it's very early, you guys just covered some of this yesterday, but is anyone internally that has the capabilities of doing that because of their knowledge of the system?
I don't believe so. I feel like, I would hope they could have seen that some of those funds weren't coming in before and, tried to figure out why that was, but that didn't happen. But I think you need somebody that, like, even if they're already here, it's going to be hard for them to disconnect from the day-to-day operations and become that person. So I don't think so.
You do think, but you don't.
Scratch that.
I understand, based on earlier conversation today at another group, that yesterday was very enlightening.
Yeah.
So I guess, where does that leave us in the discussion of the agenda items on finance?
Two things. My opinion, number one, we would like a motion from this group to fill the finance director position with a finance manager position so we can get that posted next week. That would be the first. That specifically is on number 8 there. Secondly, according to the agreement, if we are to create a new position, which this compliance QA position would be a new position. However, in contrast, they did eliminate 4 positions last year. Angie had found some of the documents that I remember having conversations with the prior director about this. They got rid of, the HR position was eliminated. Most of those duties. Identified some duties yesterday that person was doing that hadn't been assigned to anybody. We've got that taken care of now. There was a medical and coding billing position that they did not, they eliminated. Administrative supervisor was eliminated. Or no, that was reclassed. That was reclassed.
Yeah.
So 3 positions.
Yeah, 3.
And CCS, service facilitator. So it was 3. But anyway.
The admin... Her medical coding, wasn't that the way I understood it, the reason for the revenue cycle manager?
It says here, notes, duties shifting to admin we hired in 24-25 and other areas for efficiency. We may need to hire in the future, but not ready, don't believe we need it right now.
So who's doing the coding? I guess that's my question.
Terry, which I think she was transitioned, so maybe that was what they're saying. I think she was admin.
Oh, it's in, okay.
Some of the providers should be doing some of the coding themselves, yeah. too, yes.
So we'll be able to bill out these overhead costs as part of the programs we're charging?
I think if you have everybody credentialed, I mean, what just probably one person being credentialed that we're getting, not bringing any funds in.
But, I mean, some of the overhead costs mm-hmm. wouldn't be credentialed.
It would be the provider's grant, from your grants you can work in your
utility costs.
The block grants and other mm-hmm. things, mm-hmm. correct.
Yeah, we just needed to make sure it wasn't a group that was seeing people on site because the building itself is credentialed. Yeah.
But I'm just, that needs to be part of the overhead cost on the billing. It's either that or all your overhead costs goes to levy.
I think setting rates is another conversation.
Okay. I understand.
I think for some reason that's not my world, but it seems to be a flat rate, which I
question.
Medicare, Medicaid, some of those rates are already established. And in order for us to maximize revenue, we need to have credentialed people doing that work.
Yes.
And somebody looking at the denials.
Follow-ups. Yeah,
those are the two biggies.
Correct. Those are the two biggies. Because we're not doing any follow-ups right now.
Yeah. So the other word that I heard earlier, and I'm sorry if I'm taking over the conversation, but scrubber. So what is that? Is that a program or is that?
I said yesterday. A scrubber is a program. So ultimately, you have your patient, resident, client. You provide the services. It is coded, and then it goes through this program. And the program identifies by reviewing all those notes. Did the coder miss something? Did they miss putting a modifier on? Can they say, wait a minute, you could also get something by adding this code? It could be a demographic error. There's lots of things. It says that it reduces denials by over 80%, and it doesn't take a long time.
It's a fraction. I'm assuming it's an AI tool.
An intelligent tool, or yes. there's some other programs too.
Whatever.
Because right now, if we get a denial, we're not going back and reviewing it and working it.
It's
just sitting mm-hmm. there.
Anything free has no value, so we don't know.
There you go.
I think we had another department install a scrubber, and I think you had said that they just buy.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's an actual program or if that was a person training. Orchard Manor did something similar.
Like the same.
They hired a third party.
Correct.
Oh, they did.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think, if I remember right.
It was a person that trained and reviewed, but yeah.
I guess that's my question. If it's a software, if it's a program, or is it a third party, so that we're not creating a position, or do we need to create a position? Because creating a position and training an individual to make sure that we're maximizing credentials and everything else is a whole nother ball game in my mind.
Right. I mean, typically your coders should be pretty versed in what should be on a claim. It's just, there's human error there, right?
No.
So, I know, like, we used it at the hospital and it reduced. When we did have a denial, it was like, what did we miss in the scrubber miss? So it was kind of, but.
Yeah, if you get an 80% success rate, that's mm-hmm. pretty good.
Good at zero right now.
Yeah. No, mine. Yeah, because you put.
I'm just being.
No, I get
what
it.
We're covering. So going back to my original, new position, so if the goal, I think, here is you do need a body for the compliance QA position. That can't be an AI tool or anything. So in the agreement, it says new positions, additional allocated positions, and position reclassification shall follow the process set forth in Section 3.12 of the Grant County Admin Manual. So under there, it says any new position, initially review with county administrator. County administrator shall make the initial determination or forward request for further consideration, which is why we're here today. And present it to the appropriate home committee, which is this committee to start with. From there, it would go to executive. And because we have to figure out funding, that it may need to start this year, then it would need to go to the full board for approval. So depending on whether we can determine whether the we can have an ROI, you know, what is this potentially going to return on investment going to be, if we get everybody credentialed and we'll be able to do some of these denials and so forth, you know, can the position pay for itself? It's kind of in the air a little bit yet. So any other input?
No.
It's kind of our thought process, mine anyway. So I don't know, again, we don't specifically have that on the agenda that we can even do anything with it or not. You guys are more well-versed in that than me at this point.
You know, a question that I have is, having been unaware of these denials of claims, was our budget, our revenue budget, I assume the revenue budget was set up based upon past trends. So did we see this revenue coming in just on 2 out of 14 people that were doing that? Or were we calculating it that we were going to get full recovery as if all of them were credentialed? I mean, because in past years, we had been pretty close to being equal.
Mm-hmm. So there's a couple things to look at. So one, when they're talking, and I noticed in your last board meeting, the focus was on, did we make budget? But that's where I wanted to show with the tax levy how much is coming in, because it was a lot easier to make budget in 2025 with $1.2 million in tax levy. So the focus wasn't on, are we legitimately recovering it for the services we're doing? Those are two different.
Right, but I mean,
focuses.
We did have individual revenue lines that weren't out of levy.
Yeah, so these are all the revenue generating
right.
lines.
Right.
The only thing, and I don't know, since we're just finding this and it's not my issues, I'm not sure how it's an annual process for this credentialing. Is it some of it's biannual? You know, so I don't know if it's just that some people are falling off, or with all these new people, nobody's adding them. You know,
so that's the other interesting thing that I thought about earlier, Angie, and I'm glad you brought it up again, is if there's only 2 out of the 14, how many of the 14 have been previously credentialed? Any?
I believe
we don't know that.
We've been trying to piece together some information, and yeah. it's
tough to do in 24 hours.
We just, out of the one portal, you know, it's Medicaid we were looking at, and going over the couple of names where it's been added, but then I'm not going to say names, right? So the ones, it looks like Abigail Trainer was added. Kezia? I think she's not here.
She's correct.
Cassidy Steadwell?
Just replaced Kezia.
Okay. You know, so it's just hit or miss.
That's fine.
The more concerning part we had is that the two main highest charging people we have do not appear to be credentialed in most things. Which, obviously, they have been over the years. So that's where, in my mind, I'm guessing at some point something expired and nobody understood to go in to do it.
So because of a timing issue, and I think most people know, it's not on the agenda, so I don't know how we can fill that position today. I do think that
again, per the new agreement, if there's four out of the five oversight people in the room, we could have an oversight committee meeting. We could have it anytime, 24-hour notice, but we could also do it before the next unified meeting. But like Nate described, that's after our executive committee meeting, which creates a problem. We could do it by Zoom, I guess, to keep it moving.
Doesn't the administrators, don't they have some certain authority if they're filling a position that has already been created to go ahead and fill that?
They
are
do.
You're talking about creating a new
position. We're creating
position.
A position.
Correct. Then it has to come here.
Correct.
So you're
according
changing
to our policy, because it makes reference to the Grant, because Grant County is the HR
right
oversight.
Sure,
for this
rewriting the position, so it's a new position.
But again, we could, now that we understand the discussion, we could have a 5-minute Zoom meeting someday.
We can still fast track it.
So that we did that before the May 12th Grant County Executive Committee, and then by that time we would have a structure on cost allocations and revenue needs or whatever it might be, if it needs to go any farther. But to me, that's, from what I'm seeing, that's the more important position than the finance director. But again, I realize you didn't know it until. Yes.
So an update on that, actually an update on that one. So Margo, I touched base with her today.
We should up the speed on that. Okay. They probably don't know.
Oh, okay.
So
don't know a lot.
Yeah.
No, so she brings up a name, like, who's that?
Yeah.
So when Jessica said she was resigning, we're like, we got these deadlines that have to be met on this. Would you identify at least two or three?
Six
on grants and different things. So we made the decision we didn't need to ask for any out of budget spending. It could be absorbed internally, because how long is she going to be on board? 2-3 weeks?
4 weeks.
4 weeks?
And we talked about 4 weeks. But yeah. The motion, that was the one they were talking about.
It was six?
Yeah,
for six. Yeah, that was for Neil.
That was for Neil.
That was for Neil.
Okay.
Yes.
I don't know how long term she was.
She could. I think now for this. Okay, we'll go back to hers. Sorry.
So, we have to keep monitoring this. So, the idea was between the vacancy of the finance director and the first 3 months of no revenue cycle manager filling that position, using those funds to hire a temp from Truity, again, to continue on some of the work that the previous guy had done, because he had made tremendous, and maybe you should fill him in on what he did and kind of where he's at, and what, now we can turn it over and talk
okay.
about what Margo's doing coming
so,
to work.
Yeah, so Neil, you guys met, I think you were you on that one with him soon?
He was at the board meeting.
The
one board meeting.
So, okay, you're on that. So he was a temp one we had brought on board during her leave for a while, and he came in, and there were several reporting requirements coming up within the next couple of weeks that we just didn't have the capacity or training to do. So he dove in, took care of that group. That was more the GEARS funding, just the monthly reporting, and then a couple of the annual reconciliations. We had a very short term because he was just a gap in his turnover, and he accepted another position. So then when he had moved on, and then Jessica was back for a few days and then gave her notice, that's where I went to them and said, I'm concerned that there's plenty more coming here very quickly and things I don't know about. We need to find, we need somebody else in also. So we reached back out to Trudy, and they found Margo, who's a CPA, had extensive background, a finance director for SSM Health, kind of just same thing in the transition time. And we're like, we need help, anything we can get. So that's where I talked with Nate and said, Neil didn't use all of the dollars, the $30,000 we had talked about. There was about $10,000 left. There was going to be gaps in Jessica's position and things like that. I said, can we please bring in Margo? Because besides some of these other issues we're finding, when we went and talked to them, there's six very large grant reportings and reconciliations due that we need to get out that I've
I've never done. You know, it's like I either can do what I've been doing for, so the last 2 weeks I moved over to BMO and kind of supervised the team and got Jamie on board and things like that. You know, it's like I can do one or the other. I can try to learn his reports and do this, or I can do that. So then that's where we went with Margo's working on those, so we don't miss those deadlines. And then we're working on this.
Because on top of it, we have the audit starting next week.
Yes.
So the county audit, yes. And then the unified audits with that as well. So.
So I'm touching base with Margo. So she came over Tuesday, met the team, and I asked her today. She went back for a couple days and has just been digesting and looking at things. And I asked her how she felt, and she was pretty quiet at first. And then she said, "I think today I'm feeling a little bit better." Mm-hmm. And I've noticed what she's needed to do. She's struggling to find historical records of the previous reports, or how the information was pulled together and how it was pieced together, and it's very fragmented. And she's just copying me and everything. So basically what she's done is she's reached out to the state and got last year's report, and now she's almost creating everything new, which is pretty much what I told her, what Neil had to do and what I'm having to do. So she's mostly complete with the first one. You know, the two annual reconciliations, one's all the expenses overall and the other one's the revenue. So she's almost through the first one of those. And then it goes to the other four large reports. We reached out to Department of Health Services and at least got 2 week extensions on each of those. Otherwise this one, the 942, these two large annual reconciliations were due the 30th. So if we had not reached out, we would have missed the deadline completely. So we're in some very tight deadlines with, so that's why I have her focusing solely just on that. You know, keeping her out of, you know, even like some of these questions, just to make those deadlines. So that's her focus. She did let me know too that she may be open to extend that a little bit. Initially we were thinking, you know, if we were lucky to keep her, kind of like, you know, we'll be lucky to keep her 2-3 weeks and somebody else is gonna nab her up for full time. But yeah, so that's, so, but she hasn't really started on the other four. That's when she's got a lot of work to do for not having history or any good data to really, she's gonna piece a lot together.
How do we nab them up full time?
Rob a bank.
most of it's just hard, yeah. In the area. It is, you know, it is. I think Neil is from Madison, Margo's from Janesville.
Oh, yeah.
We're a very rural area.
Yeah.
It's hard.
But Angie's from Belmont.
Yes.
She's the anomaly.
Yeah, every time you get lucky, don't you?
So that's history on Margo.
That's where we're at.
Brings us back around then to the question, I guess, at hand, though, is we're still looking for action to modify our director to a manager.
Finance.
For finance.
Correct.
I will make that motion.
I'll second it.
To move finance director to a manager position using the job description as circulated today.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I don't know if we need to wait in on
this. I don't know that we can put specifics to it.
Right.
No.
Because you're waiting for placement and everything else.
Yep.
Any other questions?
So what did we delete from finance director to make manager?
I think as Nate said, a lot of it was the decision, specific decision making things that would now fall over to Sue.
basically taking out the established parts. She gave you a copy of the original.
Yep.
You know, if you look at just the basic, you know, number one, established on the current description, established and managed accounting systems to just manage.
Okay.
Taking out those established, those, like I said, high level director type decision making things, and then those go, you know, to the agency. We're anticipating.
So those things are in your job description already.
They come up to her.
So that's kind of my question in making the director of the agency or unified community services. But do we need something in here that they also report to Grant County Finance Director or take direction from Grant? You know, ultimately.
Like a dot.
Well, I mean.
I think this part of what we still.
Some of the finance, accounting, and everything else, those are not functions that we can assume. I'm not against you, but. Yeah.
Not an issue.
But it's.
No, I understand.
It's that, you know, you need somebody with the knowledge, skills, and abilities to oversee the position that you're. Do we need something like that?
It should be under the guidance or advisement of county finance.
That could be that simple.
Something as simple as that.
Right.
I don't know if you want direct.
No.
Direct?
No. But it should be something that gives, in case somebody from the outside says, well,
why are they?
Why isn't the finance director overseeing a finance manager? I'm not saying.
Although in my past positions as executive director, I supervised the finance director in her position.
Sometimes they work under you.
And
I get, it's not the supervision.
But it's the.
But if there's a critical question.
Yeah, I'm calling Angie.
Then you're going to call her.
I'm calling Angie.
So the only reason I'm saying it is that.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I'm not trying to cut out the middleman, but I'm trying to be more efficient with time.
Mm-hmm.
That's where John says, you know.
Just
under advisement or in consultation with or something, however we want to blend that word, just so they have the opportunity, even if you're not around, they don't have to wait for 2 days for you to contact Angie.
Oh, yeah.
You can go directly to Angie. I just want some kind of a cushion in there.
Linking up.
Because of all the challenges that we're seeing,
right.
We need to be
efficient.
Professional.
Yes, agreed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're addressing a lot of that with the, you know, the Tyler software all being together. We have that vision. We're doing more with the grants and the fundings and gathering that information throughout the year instead of just waiting until audit time and then getting so, you know, come audit time, I'm taking in so much information and going back and forth. I'm not processing the information or reviewing the information. It's just gather and get it to the auditors. So we're trying to get more of a structure to that and
that working relationship capability it
mm-hmm.
just it's more proficient and efficient, whatever words you want to use.
I mean, we're trying to build that across all the departments. That really wasn't there.
And
so
this is also a multi-county department, so it's still a department. That's why I just want that connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think other things address
as vague
it.
As it can be, I think needs to be listed.
So yeah, we've bridged gaps already with HR coming over fully under her HR. You know, IT is fully coming under our IT now. We're bridging that gap.
And I think that's what the new agreement is, the same issue. And maybe the agreement is enough.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we don't need it in this job. But I'm just saying those are the things that we have done with other manager positions. And I'm fine if it's not added. I just want to make sure that we're all under the understanding that if they have a question, that opportunity is available. And if it doesn't need to be documented, I'm fine with that too.
I think with the change over of staff, some of the prior disconnect is going to be gone, because whoever we would interview for this position, she's going to sit down because she's the subject matter expert.
Right.
You know, I agree. Along with Sue.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
So, just so we don't forget, I was hoping we could Elise could make a motion to...
We have to vote on the motion on the floor.
Oh, we still have.
I'm going to bring that up, because I wrote it down.
One at a time.
The motion on the
floor is to fill the vacancy of UCS Finance Director with a UCS Finance Manager position, as discussed. Everybody comfortable with the motion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed, the same? That motion carries. Okay, now what did you want to try to do?
So under number seven, for the finance department structure, we need to make sure that it's put into the minutes that Jamie and Kelly are able to speak with the folks about adding people into the portal, correct?
Yes. So in the interim of not having the finance director, we need to name Jamie Lansdowne as revenue cycle manager, and then Kelly O'Brien as accountant.
As contacts, as interim authorized contacts to DHS or who?
To, I'd say all federal agencies.
All agencies.
All agencies.
I'm willing to make that motion.
I will second.
You want to read it back just to make sure I said it correctly?
Well, I'm going to need how to spell Jamie's last name, because I was going to ask that.
Lenz, 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 Stoney.
Okay. So I have that Bob made a motion to authorize and name Jamie Lenz Stoney, the revenue cycle manager, and Kelly O'Brien, what is her title? To be the authorized contacts for all agencies.
On behalf of Unified Community Services.
I'm like, okay.
Is that good enough?
Is everybody comfortable with the motion?
Yeah.
All in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed, the same? That motion also carries.
So do we actually have, with this, will we have an actual published structure of Unified Finance? So if someone said, who's in Unified Finance, we can pick up a piece of paper and say,
we do have a
full chart. They have a,
we have an org chart, which is broken down by position and the person within it. So we can update accordingly.
I believe I have seen that before.
For future reference, future meeting, the compliance quality assurance position will be charted as well. Or will it be an offshoot of director, or where will that fit in, admin or finance? Or?
Do you have that, Sue? I would say it would go off of the director.
Yeah, okay. That's right. Yes,
that's fine.
Touch one on the thing that's on our structure with finance. So in our agreement on page 13, and you may be aware of this, on the top of page 13, it talks about the finance director for Unified Community Services shall report to the Grant County Finance Director on matters related to finance, provided, however, an evaluation of performance, discipline, wage increase, or termination of the finance director shall be required and approved by the Oversight Commission. Notwithstanding the foregoing, the director shall have day-to-day responsibilities to manage the finance director consistent with Grant County policy or as otherwise directed by the Oversight Commission.
Thank you.
Going on
I think it's all covered. The only thing that stood out as you read it is now we need to change the title of the agreement.
Yeah.
So we need to modify that agreement at some point. Good job.
My Andy Phillips.
Yep.
Wordsmithing.
Thanks.
You're welcome, sir.
So we have to have a motion to amend the titles?
I think at another meeting, because it's not agenda. I'm sorry, I'm a stickler on that.
I don't know if it was fit under.
Again, I think we've had the discussions for a lot of things, including the creation of that position.
Closed session is... No, there's not a closed session. No. Number nine talks about the intergovernmental agreement.
That's removed.
That's removed.
It should be, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, number nine and the one that was posted is adjournment.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because this is an older adjournment.
Yeah, it's an older one. Clint had put a bunch of stuff on there, and we kind of shrunk it down to just...
So it isn't in there?
No.
Okay.
If it was, you probably could have.
Yeah, I know, that's what I was like, oh, but it is mentioned here, and kind of throws the door open.
Yeah, I didn't even realize it was listed that way.
On the agenda that I'm working off of, it's...
I just picked up the one that was on the table.
That was, I think Nate had sent that to the printer, and I grabbed it off my desk.
Oh.
One of the earlier ones.
That's my fault.
I didn't bring this in.
No.
Can I clarify then, what are the next steps to discuss the compliance, since it's not here?
We need a job description completed.
Okay.
And a costing.
Yep, the analysis.
And an agenda meeting of at least four out of the five of us to attend. I think it was, I appreciate the two gentlemen from Iowa County traveling, because especially after what the other is at the table uncovered yesterday.
Yeah.
I kind of had an inclination this morning it was going to be interesting.
I had no inkling.
We'll need that to us.
Right, to do the analysis, yes.
Need an analysis, and then we gotta figure out what the budget impact is.
Right. Yeah, so will you have that done before executive in May or not?
I will try my best.
Because I'm just wondering, do we plan another meeting now?
I don't think, I think we need to adjourn to call the chair, because timing is a lot. Mm-hmm. And like I said, 24 hours notice, especially when, as far as I'm concerned, and I think most people at the table, we've already discussed the issue. We just can't take action.
It's a matter of reviewing the job description and the fiscal impact.
Yeah, because I'll have to do the job description and then send that for placement to be able to do my analysis, so.
Yeah.
It might be ready, but maybe not by the Thursday before, like that.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I think I'll probably, I mean, Bob and I can talk about it. We'll probably put it on the executive agenda.
Okay.
If it doesn't make the timing, it doesn't make the timing.
Yeah, if we distribute our executive agendas on Thursday or Friday, the Tuesday before, this is a small enough group, we could decide on Friday or, to have a meeting on Monday.
Because usually for placement, it's up to 7 days, but I can request it be rushed, and I might get it at 3 or 4, so.
I'll potentially have it by Friday. Yeah. We have an idea where it's going to land.
Yeah.
On the scale, so we could do some preliminary fiscal impacts, with our kind of our thought process where it might land.
With the shortfalls of revenue, I don't see how you're going to keep it in the current budget. That's my opinion.
Yeah. Yes.
So in the meantime, what are we doing about the non-credentialed work that we're doing?
Jamie and Kelly are trying to reach out, but that's, I told Jamie's left a few messages, but I told her, I said, quite honestly,
until they got the minutes today that say something that we have approved for those to be our contacts.
Oh,
correct. They could do it as a sideline of their current work, but they needed to have the official oversight committee saying, yes, we're on board. That's the way I understood the comments.
Yes, yeah, we can try.
Yeah, I don't even know what that involves, but it's like a license to practice, it's like a PE or whatever.
To reinforce what he's saying, I think that's, if we say, what do we have to do?
I got to
get credentials. We have to
check the boxes.
That's going to start the process, and it's going to be 2 to 10 weeks to get them done.
Yeah, a provider will already have like their NPI number, which says that they can be a provider. It's just getting them credentialed to work to. No, it's to, you credential them to be able to bill to Medicare, Medicaid, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Medical Associates. So they're already licensed as providers. It's just that they're not credentialed to the specific program. So we might have a provider that is credentialed to Blue Cross Blue Shield and Medicare, but then they see somebody that has medical associates, that's where it, you can't get recoup any funds.
So that's what you're talking about, the reimbursement.
So we're doing the services, meeting with clients, we're sending and billing, we're not getting reimbursed.
Yeah, well, I understand that, but I thought it was a credential to practice.
Oh, I see.
This is a credential to license.
Yes.
Okay, holy crap.
That would take a lot.
I was on the same page as you.
Because I'm at the tail end of this, I'm not.
I'm sorry if I wasn't clear on that, but yeah, it's.
But still, it's a huge issue.
Problem.
It is a huge issue, but it might be a quicker fix than if it was a certification or license.
Yeah, but it's just so very fragmented, there's not one portal, that's what you're saying, that's, you know, it's.
So if you were a provider coming in to work at my hospital, we have all the documentations, we know what your provider number is to practice, but we have to send it here.
I know what you mean now, because that's the same way with my chiropractor or whatever, if I want to run it through my insurance or whatever, they got to be credentialed. It's not that they're not, can't practice, they're perfectly fine to practice.
Right, it's just recouping the funds.
Provider for that.
Yeah, for that carrier, yeah, makes more sense now, makes a lot more sense. It's a little bit more of a relief anyway. We got people that didn't maintain their license.
Oh, gosh, no, that would be a much bigger issue. That would be a much bigger.
It sounds like we can expect good news a lot quicker.
Maybe, yeah.
You know.
If you can talk to the providers, that they will share the information, but
we have to get access.
That's why we needed to give these two ladies the authority
to
speak on our behalf, because the people at the top have turned over and.
There's a couple of big ones, I mean, Medicare, I think is the biggest.
It's the biggest.
It's huge.
And they're not going to just say, oh, somebody left, okay, we'll let you have access, I mean, it's going to be an official step.
So this happened because of turnover, so we just brought in new people and never credentialed?
We don't know.
Somewhat.
I'm not going to.
Don't venture.
We must have a lot of Medicaid.
Medicare, Medicaid.
I think right now we're here, we're seeing it here, so we're just trying to fix it to the best that we can to move forward. Because what has happened, it doesn't really matter at this point.
Right, move forward and put processes in place so it doesn't happen again. First, we got to move forward.
That's my attitude is to.
And then let's make sure it doesn't happen.
Don't look over your shoulder, but you, in order to prevent it from happening in the future, you got to figure out why it happened.
Yeah, you got to put the right process.
Yep.
Not trying to assess blame, but just trying to correct procedures.
Right, yep.
Okay. Nothing left on the agenda, so.
No, we scratched 9 months.
All the investigation and starting to unravel this is great.
The top, just on the top. But.
Well, clean garage, you got to make the driveway a mess.
That's right. I like that analogy.
A springtime metaphor.
I am no further business. I'm going to start the meeting adjourned and we'll call the chair and we will reach out and as we have more information, we'll get back together to take on next.
Thank you.
Super. Anything going on? Did you still have availability Wednesday?
Yeah, this way, nice.